Welcome to the FPL USA Press Play Podcast. We are the official home of the FPL USA community in audio form, of course, streaming directly to your ears. I am one of the co-hosts. My name is Bucks, based out of Brooklyn. I'm joined by my partner in crime, Brian, on the best coast. Brian, say hello to our listeners.
What's good?
And we have a extra special guest to fill in for our fallen comrade, Black Wolf. We're sending him wishes for a full and speedy recovery. He's hoping to make his triumphant return next episode. But until he's back, we got the one, the only, Alon from the amazing at FML FPL podcast. Alon, say what's up to everybody.
How we doing? What's up, guys?
Absolutely stoked to have you on. You're one of the banter kings of the FPL community, and you hail also from New York, so I think you and Bucks have that in common. So it's great to have you on the pod and continue to glow up some of our top talent producers out here in the FPL game from FPL USA. How's the season going, man?
I mean, the season's good, but I just want to say, don't build me up too much, because there's going to be people listening who've never heard me, and they're like, holy shit. Strapped in, king of the pod. Season's going okay. I'm a little rusty off an international break, so you know, just basically yesterday and today getting back into the FPL swing of things. I just ignored all the FPL challenge stuff, and I'm just like, okay, yeah, we're coming back
for sure. I'm basically red flagged. I'm coming off of 4 days in Las Vegas for March Madness and just all the degenerate activities you can get involved with. Just gambling from 9 a.m. till midnight and then keeping it going into the tables. Oh, too many days in a row, to be honest, but had some good weather, had a cabana day at the Wynn and spent a lot of money on food and just buzzer beaters and overtimes. That's one thing that California just does not have, just the ability to wager on live sports. It kills me. It kills me. But I had a crew out there, so I'm just finally also getting up to speed on all the things happening across the league. So this should be a great episode to really share some of the double game week adjustments, give our quick rankings of some of those teams, and then kind of looking ahead the next 4 weeks building up to trip strategy. So super excited to dive into this one.
Absolutely. And like you both mentioned, we're coming off international break. There's been a lot of developments on the injury front, but more importantly, we're almost back to touching and experiencing Premier League football on the weekend. So let's first introduce you. Let's continue to glow you up along. So just tell the listeners a little bit about your story, how you came to start making content as part of your amazing podcast and your YouTube show. And yeah, what's your FPL play style if you had to boil it down?
Oh man, this is tough. So started a podcast with my bud Walsh, who I grew up with. I mean, we've known each other since we're five. We've been like best friends. We started a pod, I think, in the 2014 season, I want to say. So there was really there was really one pod, Fantasy Football Scout, and we weren't that into it, and we wanted a more like American raucous style. Just the shit that we already listened to, basically, you know, big influence of Bill Simmons and, you know, stuff like that, that was around and popular back then. And so we just started it. We were just like, fuck it. We have this text thread. Let's just record ourselves. Basically the same thing. And yeah, it just picked up steam from there. I think that we're known for being a little not template, a little not traditional, cursing a lot and just, I don't know, playing with our hearts. You know, I'm between the two of us, I'm a little bit more statsy, I would say. Like, I'm just into that stuff. It's not like I'm, you know, I dedicate everything to it and strictly play by the stats, but Walsh is definitely more like shooting from the hip, just going on vibes and just trying to have a fun time. Yeah.
Letting it fly.
Yeah, for sure.
Are you working in a field where you're using statistics or numbers at all?
Not even a little bit. I wish I was. I mean, that sounds cool. Last statistics class I took was senior year of high school. I'm far from a professional.
Yeah, you're giving me trauma just bringing up statistics courses in general. The calculus, statistics, that was not my bag of tea, so to speak.
Yeah.
I know, yeah, Brian. So,
No, sorry. No, I was trying to remember the other questions you asked me, but I don't know. Maybe that was it. I don't know. Go ahead. Sorry.
That was fantastic. Who's your, I know Brian knows this because he's a hardcore fan, and I know this too because I've been catching up on the YouTube, but what team do you support? Who was your favorite ever Premier League player? And then if you have like a standout FPL moment, either with your team or with a rogue shout, get in there.
Okay. Well, yeah. So I'm a Liverpool supporter. Favorite ever player. Yeah, John's giving me the down thumbs.
Boo.
Thumbs down. Favorite ever player is really fucking hard. I mean, I don't think I can answer that really, but funny enough, I mean, I guess a lot of people don't know, but a big part of the reason I got into Liverpool is actually a podcast called The Anfield Wrap. And like back when I was just getting into football and just like waking up and watching and playing FIFA, and every American, it's like the same story, I feel like. And I was kind of like, oh yeah, I kind of like them. Like they kind of are a big team, but they kind of suck, like all the teams that I like in New York. And then I was like reading an article about like best sports podcasts, and they were all everything you would think, you know, it's like ESPN, Sports Illustrated, Bill Simmons, whatever. And then like number 8 or something was The Anfield Wrap. And I was like, what is this? So, you know, it's just like, what the fuck? Like, how did this even make the list? How could it be that good? And I started listening, and it actually is that good. It's just absolutely incredible. I'm so blessed to have it. I mean, I don't have anything equivalent for any other team I support in any other sport. And yeah, that getting into it through that, and just they started kind of getting good around when I was getting into it. It just all, everything just happened all at once. And then FPL memories. I mean, I have too many, dude. I have literally too many. I mean, getting Walsh into FPL. Walsh is my co-host. Getting Walsh into FPL. We were at a Mets spring training together in like I said, like 2013, maybe something like that. And I had Michu and I had Bale, and they were like both playing in that morning. Whenever the Michu season was, it was that year when he scored like 20 goals or something. And I was just popping off. I was like captained one of them. And like, I was just teaching him about like, oh, this guy. And like, it all was just happening at once. So that was fucking awesome. And then getting him into it was really fun.
Just buzzing.
It all makes sense. You know, you needed a distraction from watching the Mets, so you leaned into FPL. That squares 100% with me. I totally get that. Ryan actually brought me into the FPL game, so similar story as you and Walsh. And it's nice to hear that you use FPL not only to stay in touch with him because you guys are lifelong friends, but it's a way to kind of keep the things fresh between you guys. You're always chatting. You're always disagreeing. Yeah. Cursing at each other. That's the beauty of a strong relationship between some adult men.
Yeah, and I think that's if someone was to ask me to like boil down like why our podcast is mildly successful, whatever you want to call it, I would say that's like our special sauce, is we've just been friends for so long and we just chat. Like we barely have like a running order. That was like ripped up episode 10 or whatever. We were just like, dude, what are we doing? This is like a fucking disaster. And we just started talking, and that's when people started liking the podcast.
Yeah, you guys bring the banter. I feel like the nicknames that you have for some of these schmucks across the Premier League is so good. And we want those vibes here, because I think there's so many different content creators that are like super serious, and like you need a few of those outlets to get that information. Like Pross is one of the best in the industry, always following him. I know he's been on your show. Yep. He came on here as well earlier. So you have a few of those guys that are just so clued into what's going on to inform us, but then we banter about the picks from each of these teams. So love that for sure. And I'm surprised that you doubled down on the pain at the time, like Liverpool being like a little bit down, and like a New York sports fan.
I'm loyal.
You're a Mets guy, not a Yankees guy. So you've been getting crushed there. Your football teams have been pretty mediocre, you know, tough times.
Have you been to Anfield?
Yeah, I've been, 3 times to Anfield.
Wow.
And I've been to a couple games in London too, not Liverpool games. Just I was in London and found a way to get tickets and stuff, but yeah, I've been to Anfield a few times. Lucky to have a dad who's also really into it, and he was like, "Let's fucking go," and I was like, "Let's fucking do it."
Yeah, let's fucking go. That's awesome.
Like, that's exactly right. Let's fucking go. And then I went another time separately, but yeah, great. It's fucking.
That's an awesome experience.
Yeah, as good as you'd expect. Yeah.
After this podcast, we got to coordinate to see about getting together for potentially a meetup or a game week 38 at minimum. Let's try and make that happen.
Yeah, I'm down. Let's do it.
All right, let's take our first break. When we come back, let's dive into some of the key notable information coming out of the international break.
All right, news and notables. Boys, international break, it just goes on and on. There's still international matches being played midweek here, but soon all of our friends will be back from their planes jet-setting across the world, and they will be back for the run-in. So, Alon, as a Liverpool fan, are you expecting to win the league?
Expecting? No. Hoping, obviously. Hoping and praying, yes. Yeah, I mean, it's really tight. I think, you know, I mean, maybe I don't, clearly Bucks is a Chelsea supporter, Brian. I don't know who you support, but I assume for the neutral, it's as exciting as it's been for a really long time, because it's just every game just feels like a must win, and every little drop point here and there, every extra goal for the, you know, goal difference. It's just like, it's really stressful. But as a scarred Liverpool fan, I mean, we've lost the title two times to Man City by 1 point. It's hard to be like, yeah, we're going to fucking do it. But, you know, the City-Arsenal game this weekend is, you know, it's a big one. So we'll see what happens.
That's a huge one. I think to have three teams going for the title at once is huge. I feel like it's usually like a two-team race, and then the rest are just upstarts and kind of rounding out the top four. But each of the three teams, I feel like, are of the caliber of winning the Premier League this season. So It'll be interesting to see how Arsenal and City do in Champions League and how that affects their, you know, travels back to domestic play in the Premier League. And that could trip them up, and then Liverpool could fucking jump right in there, baby.
I know. I think City are rightfully big favorites and should be, not just because they've done it before. I just think also the way that the sort of Champions League and cup games fell for them, I think, is just a bit more favorable. You know, not, they didn't do anything right. It's just luck, you know, sometimes. I mean, their Madrid games are sandwiched by a home Luton. You know, they away leg first, they'll just probably sit on that, play for a 0-0. We've seen them do that before, taken home. You know, and then they have a cup game after, which is not as high stakes as, like, you know, Arsenal have Bayern, Villa, Bayern, Prem game. Ugh. In that run, right? And it's just like tougher, you know. Arsenal are away Brighton, home Bayern, home Villa, then away Bayern, which is, you know, you'd much rather have the second leg at home, and then away Wolves. It's just tough.
Nice call out there. I really think that it's totally a toss up right now. I mean, Arsenal are sitting up top and they have the best goal difference, but I would argue they have the hardest run in. Mm-hmm. And you guys currently are third. And I would say might have the least pedigree maybe at this point than Arsenal and Manchester City, who are sitting above you guys, with Man City clearly the leader. They've done it four times in a row. They are champions for a reason, and treble winners for a reason. But I will say that your run-in and the matches that you guys have in front of you left to play from game week 30 to 38 when the season ends, you guys have the best schedule. So yeah, on paper, I think it's just up to you guys to keep checking the box and getting those 3 points.
Yeah, and that, you know, the injuries are going to be a huge factor. I think the aways are really, really tough, and that's maybe going to decide, like, you know, where Liverpool end up. But, you know, there's still 30 points available. You know, that's a lot of action. You know,
that's
like
crazy.
Five weeks from now, the race could be done. Like, you never know what's going to happen. But as of now, you know, any team could be over 90 points.
I mean, you also have fate on your side. This is Klopp's golden hour. Like, sun setting into the Premier League record books. It could be. It could be. So lots to look
maybe,
forward to.
Maybe I'm going to be the controversial take, but I wouldn't hate seeing Klopp leave, you know, crying like he was chasing after the Sean Dyche down the tunnel. He'd be like, you know, whining his way out of the Premier League. That's just me showing my bias as a hardcore
All
Chelsea.
Good.
All right, let's transition here and just highlight a few flags that have popped up in the FPL game. So Bucks, you got a rundown on a few of those key players that we should just keep an eye on. And again, like if you can hold off on transfers until the deadline, that's mainly ideal. And hopefully we'll get some conference news as well.
Yeah. And we should just credit Alon for being a pro, because you just teased Rabo came off injured in their match today. Initial reports say it might be bad, so he could be getting a red flag in the very near future. We also saw players like Haaland, Saka, KDB, Gusto, Gabriel, and Maguire, who all left their national team camps early. And then there's big news about Sven Botman. Apparently, he is injured pretty badly. He's going to miss the rest of the season and maybe the start of next with a 6 to 9 month injury. So it's carnage right now in the FPL game. And God, you got to sympathize with these managers who pull their players and hold them back from national team duty, because the Premier League and the finish is in sight. So to get injured right now in meaningless friendly matches or meaningless seeding matches seems so silly when a player like Rabo's caliber is competing to lift the Premier League title trophy. I mean, that's horrible. That's a horrible break in the wrong direction for the Anfield lads.
Yep. And, you know, especially with the Arsenal City game right around the corner. I mean, you know, you look at someone like Saka, you're like, he's playing. Don't worry about it. Haaland, too.
Of course,
you know,
totally there were,
but then there's the guys who got like hurt today. You know, like I think Stones came off, Akanji came off, you know, like stuff like that. So who knows? You know, I mean, they may have fucked themselves and they have to miss that game. And that's huge. That's ridiculously huge. It's just like, it's just so stupid. I mean, the players play too many games to begin with. Throwing in these international breaks for just friendlies, it's such a nightmare. It's such a nightmare.
Sorry about our fourth co-host, Ziggy the Pup, getting involved in the podcast recording. He's the cutest of the co-hosts, that's for sure.
We don't have Black Wolf, so I brought the pup on. He's going off spouting at the mouth over something. Probably more Amazon delivery drivers coming through. Fucking hell.
Let's transition to the last big picture point, and that's something we are not going to really discuss on this episode. That is the launch of the new beta version of FPL Challenge. Ryan and I will get back on the airwaves for a quickie explainer and preview of a potential mini league that we're going to set up. But I think a lot of managers can't give two fucks about that at this point in the season, and I understand that. There's enough FPL already, and so let's save that for the super, super hardcore addicts in the FPL community, specifically in the FPL USA community. And so we will do 10 to 15 minutes on that on a future episode. Everyone cool with that here?
Yes, sir.
Let's amazing. Let's transition. Let's talk about double game week 24 being dropped on a Saturday, kind of out of
34. This guy's stuck in the past.
I was stuck in Vegas. That's where my mind still is. Yeah, so double game week 34 gets dropped on Saturday, and we have a really great set of fixtures now that Arsenal and Liverpool will also be doubling, and that was due to some of the FA Cup results. So I think there's a lot of optimism for a big point total in 34, and man, I kind of wish I would have just gotten a 5-point game week instead of a 15-point fucking free hit 29 instead and had my chip for that.
Oh, the announcement of the double game weeks means that players like me that have already blown their chip load are absolutely fucked. I mean, what I would do to have my free hit for game week 34, let alone my bench boost for 34 or double game week 37. I used the bench boost in game week 1 and netted me about 14
really?
Points.
Wow.
Yeah, you know what? I tested the strategy. I'm a
Love
new
it.
Player.
Love
and
it.
I just wanted to feel something. And with the news that Gabriel was benched, I actually snagged Timber. So that was my one misstep. He got a zero pointer in that first
one. So unlucky, though.
But otherwise, it came off pretty good. I had Gusto. He got a couple points. It was 12 to 14 points. It did its job. But I also was free hit game week 29. I would have had four players. I ended up scoring like I had four players, so it didn't do its job in a big way. Let's not talk about game week 39. Let's not talk about game week 29 ever again after I just referenced it. But the notable thing about game week 34 is that seven teams are going to double, and there is going to be a blank for Tottenham Hotspurs, which is the most Spursy thing they could do in the schedule. that is quintessential Tottenham for you. So let's just go through. I know who's going to be ranked first for your rankings, Alan, but you tell us who's your team that you're most excited about. Who's for sure getting a triple up of these seven teams? Let's go through.
Oh, man. Well, okay. I haven't thought about it that much, but I think a lot of this kind of just depends team to team. I know that's a cop out, but I think a lot of teams are going to, you know, maybe free hit here or dead end and then wild card right after, you know, so that'll change up the strategy. But I think Arsenal is the most obvious one because most people have been double or tripled up all season. And now you look, you know, obviously they have a rough fixture this week. But outside of that, you know, they have the double that just makes them like the easiest buys and holds ever after this game week. So I think another popular strategy is probably wildcarding after this week where they're at City or benching them even for this week. And then it's home Luton, at Brighton, home Villa before the double. That's the easiest place to go. I know you're setting me up to say Liverpool, but it's two aways. I don't think it's as much of a banker as, you know, even though it's Fulham and Everton, it's still two aways. It's tough.
I mean, that Everton match is brutal. That Everton match is usually just cagey and Pickford terrible. Is just being a troll and wasting time and it's going into the 100th minute. So you never know what's going to happen in that one. And who knows, they're kicking the shins of all the players on Liverpool. But I think the free hitters will likely go with two attackers from Arsenal. So I could see Odegaard and Saka in a lot of teams, whereas you would lean away from a double up in defense and just hope that you can hit that 15-point haul from Odegaard. Right now, I'm planning to dead end in 34 and then wild card in 35. And so I think that's a very viable option as well. And I already have Odegaard and Saka in my side and then Gabriel. But I think if you're looking to free hit or bring in like another Arsenal player, it's really kind of between Odegaard and Ben White is probably who you're looking at picking up, assuming Gabriel's in most teams. So I guess the differential shout had been Kai. Kai had been producing a lot of points lately. I just don't know if he's going to continue that, if he's going to keep playing the nine and keep Jesus just nailed to the bench. What are your thoughts there, Bucks? I know Kai is a cult hero for our Champions League win for Chelsea fans, but outside of that, he's been a relative disappointment in the Premier League.
I don't know if we could say that anymore. He's really coming on nicely. He's been one of the top point getters in the last 2 months of the FPL game. Actually, he's got, I think, four double-digit returns with multiple goal and assist showings. He's really fitting in nicely. I think it's going to be hard for Jesus to get his starting spot back because Kai makes the team link up so much better, and his size is a real threat for the Arsenal team up top. So I think he's my pick as a differential. Of course, I don't have free hit, and I probably won't be able to get on to him for the double, but I think the Arsenal triple up is so obvious. They play Wolves away and Chelsea at home. I think those are two wins, even though I, you know, want Chelsea to at least make that an interesting contest. But I think Saka, he's flagged right now. I would be so reticent to sell him. I think he's for sure going to play the full 90 against Man City. And he's a 90-minute man. He's the most important player on Arsenal. So he's wrapped up in packing tape. He's wrapped up in bubble wrap. Arteta is not letting anything happen to the star boy of Arsenal in the international break. So I think that was all strategic.
Yeah, that makes sense. And when we look at that Chelsea match, I mean, Chelsea can attack. So I feel like that's why I would lean to two attackers from Arsenal and just one defender rather than going the double defense. Because I think Chelsea, they've shown, you know, Jackson's kind of rounding into form again. And man, Nico has had quite the roller coaster of a season, but he's going to be on the fucking menu when we're looking at these double doubles for Chelsea coming up. And luckily, all those assets are pretty cheap too, so it'll be easy to fit them into your side when the time comes. So, all right, let's go on to Liverpool, because this is really at a point in the season where some teams have no Liverpool assets in them. And yes, Salah is very much at the top of my game week 30 wish list, and it might be a hit list. I might be hitting him in this week. We'll discuss that later. So what is your take on his health right now, Alan? Do you think, you know, he played about 75 minutes in the FA Cup loss? I am sure Klopp would have loved to play him the full game if possible. So hopefully he's rested over the international break, but I think it's really tough because there's the short turnaround right before the Sheffield United game. And that's the fixture you really want to have him in. So do you think he's going to play and start both those matches coming up here in 30 and 30?
Yeah. I mean, in a weird way, I think Mo is easier than other FPL players because when he's fit, he plays, and that's just how it's always been. I think it's obvious he hasn't been fit, right? He never gets his minutes managed, but, you know, obviously did in the City game, did in the Cup game, and now not going to Egypt for 2 weeks, you know, unless there's something that happened in, you know, training and we wouldn't know about it. You'd imagine he's fully fit by now. I'd be really shocked if he didn't just basically play 90 for the rest of the season.
Love that.
Are you going to bring him in, or is he already on your team with an early transfer?
No, for sure. I have like a billion in the bank. He's coming in this week.
Yeah. Can you remind listeners when you wildcarded? Because I think you and Bucks actually wildcarded quite early here in the game week 20. So just curious to see the state of your team.
Yeah. I wildcarded in game week 27. So very recently, Mo was very close to being in my team until we got the late news, and then he was red flagged, and that was a big bummer because I was really salivating at the prospect of having him before everyone for two fixtures, one of them being City, which I was totally fine owning him for. Then he, you know, he was obviously hurt. Now I still have the money in the bank to get him. So it was always the plan. I mean, he was always coming straight in. I like Liverpool's run up even before the double, you know, home Brighton, home Chef U. It's just like insane. At Man United, you know, that's going to be a tough game. And then another home game, home Palace. Liverpool been so good at home all season. And then now it's with the double, it's even more pressing. I mean, like, it's hard to imagine that he won't be in every team by then without another injury.
Yeah, absolutely.
Totally agreed.
You think Klopp will want to have his revenge versus Manchester United since they got knocked out of the cup. So gives them more appetite to fill a very strong lineup there as well. So Salah is essential. We'll just say it there. Where are we thinking with Darwin? Darwin has been a very enigmatic player this season. I can't believe I'm going to bring him back in, but I kind of have to. I want to have two attackers from Liverpool in my side, and I would rate him higher than Diaz probably. So I think the price point also for Darwin is super helpful because you can move on from somebody like Watkins, who has blanked in his last two matches, still the highest scoring player in the game, which is fucking crazy. I mean,
really
junkyard dog Ollie Watkins just getting it done, but they have no doubles left. So I think a lot of players are going to use him as a scrap heave and either move to somebody like Muniz, which is something I'm looking at this week to fund Salah, or they're going to look to bring in, again, those double game week players for 34, like a Darwin. So how would you rate kind of Darwin, Diaz, and some of the other assets from Liverpool?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to talk for an hour here, but I, you know, Diaz, a lot of people profited recently from going Diaz with all the injuries. I think we saw kind of a different player with a different role. I mean, his numbers went out of control. He started shooting. Like, he was putting up like Darwin numbers, honestly. He was like almost hitting double digit shots in some of those games.
Shoot on sight. Shoot on
sight. It was insane. And I think that is just directly correlated with like no Mo, no Darwin, no Jota, you know, just a complete like ragtag crew. I'm just trying to barely get over the line in some of those games and get the win. You know, he's secure in terms of minutes. I mean, that's never really been a problem for him. I mean, he's always like 80 plus basically every week. I mean, I think so. But in terms of like an asset and a ceiling, I mean, Darwin is just so much higher. I think it's like really not that close between the two. It's just hard with the forwards. It's like you mentioned Ollie, right? You want to get rid of him. He doesn't have doubles. He also is away, City away, Arsenal soon. But weaved in between that is home Bulls, home Brentford, home Bournemouth. And not having him for those games just feels like really dumb.
Well, I'm going to be dumb because I think he's getting ripped out of my side going into this game week, potentially for a hit, if not multiple hits, because like you, I also wildcard early going into the double in 25. I used my wild card. So Watkins is kind of my cash cow. So I'm going to be moving him on to a cheaper forward, planning to bring back Mo and make all that funding work. But I agree with you. I think if I was looking at it, I would want to have Salah first. Darwin would be kind of a slightly distant second. And then Diaz and Verge, I think, are a toss-up for the triple up. But I think it's going to be hard if you don't have a free hit or a wild card in hand to get to that triple up, just because it's a lot of money to shift around and it's three different positions. So a lot of transfer planning will have to go in to really load up on Liverpoolians, so to speak. But I like their double game week. I'm not so concerned with the double away. And Everton, they might be in a position where they need the points. So I think that might not be as cagey a match as it has been historically. Everton are in position where they are at threat with going down with that penalty, even with Forrest getting a penalty as well. They're going to need to squeak out some results some way, somehow. And at home with the fans on their side, I think that could be a tasty Merseyside derby this year.
Yeah, and VVD has done it before in the double game weeks, right? Just takes one bullet header, and I think he's just a menace right now. He's just towering over everybody on set pieces. So whoever's delivering those balls, who's healthy, I don't know where Sobo's lie is, but hopefully Trent will be in the mix for 34. Trent's going to be definitely a player that is on free hit teams only. There's no way you can get to him otherwise, nor should you really spend the money. Right now, I actually have little Connor Bradley in my side, hoping to start him for a week or two because my defense is in shambles, but I would love to get another start from him. And he actually scored his first international goal this past week. So good to see him rounding into form. And he's just going to be a great talent for them in the next 5+ years.
Alon, you pick. This is guest free hit time or free pick time. Let's talk about one of Palace, Bournemouth, or Wolves. We don't need to fuck around and find out with all three of them.
All right, let me choose one of those teams. But before that, I just wanted to say, don't forget about Trent. I mean, I know you just did a good job mentioning him, but I've warned people before he was hurt earlier. I mean, if you weed out all the guys who don't start regularly, I mean, he's kind of by a lot the highest scoring defender in the game this season. And he's going to be back. And once he's back, he's going to start every game. And, you know, again, assuming the title race is still going and the double and whatnot, he's going to be a guy that everyone's going to want. But where to go next? I mean, let's talk about Palace. I mean, they have two home games, look good. Eze, for me, is someone that I've talked about since fucking July. And I haven't owned him one time, and I love him, and I think he's so good, and he's such a good FPL pick. And, you know, maybe my time to own him is coming now.
Yeah, I think it's tough for Eze because he's got City and Liverpool in, I think, 32 and 33. So he's definitely a player you bring in on game week 34. So that's probably the play there. And then you kind of move to the defense because Elise is not fit. He's going to be out most likely and not in our thoughts. He would be an interesting punt because he's 5.6 million, where Eze is, I think, just a straight six. But what's up with their defense? Are we thinking the new manager is going to tighten it up a little bit and one of these guys is going to come good?
No, I don't really think he's going to tighten it up. He plays kind of loosey goosey. The benefactors of that, though, are the fullbacks. And Mitchell is just like one of the worst attacking fullbacks in the entire league. But hey, at least he starts every game and he's in the final third. And Munoz, the new guy, is just like, he's really attacking and looks actually like a good pick. So you're kind of just hoping, yeah, maybe they clean one and maybe he gets an assist. Like, that's dream scenario. But I did want to mention with Elise, I mean, Elise, it's been so long that actually he's like projected back kind of soon, you know, because the international break and all this shit. So he should, you know, unless he gets re-injured, which is actually pretty likely with him, he should be back by then. And so all of a sudden, you might be free hitting into like Eze Olise midfield.
I mean, how many minutes has Eze and Olise spent on the pitch? Like under 180? Like it's been insane. In the games that they have been, I feel like they've scored three goals, right?
Yeah,
like
they've
put up
insane.
Monster performances, but it just hasn't broken that way at all this entire season for them.
Yep.
One quick note on Palace, just coming out today, Muno's got taken off early. He might be flagged, which is a bummer if you wild carded him in. And Johnstone is seeing a specialist, his shoulder or elbow. Who the fuck cares? He's injured and he's not looking like he's coming back before the end of the season. So they're going to be relying on Dean Henderson, who didn't look great when he made his return to the Palace starting lineup.
That was awful. Yeah.
Yeah, he's past his prime. So
what
they
happened
might just
to him?
Be
what happened
off.
To him? I feel like he was like the upstart at behind DDG and like might maybe
goalies
getting some
need
minutes
to play.
At and
I believe that very strongly. They need to play. They're not a position where you can be sitting on the bench and stay sharp.
He also had one good year ever. He had a monster Sheffield United promotion campaign. That happens. I mean, I think it's I've never played keeper, but based off of like years of watching, it seems a lot easier in a weird way to play keeper when you're the underdog and you're just saving shots all the time. And that's kind of you're just in the action all the time. You're not playing out from the back. You're not seeing the ball for 40 minutes, you know, and it's just I don't know. He had one monster shot stopping year. He's been way below average every other year and continued that this year.
Yeah, great shout. And he had his like entire right kicking leg replaced after that brutal injury at the end of last season. So he's a player on the downturn, unfortunately, for Palace, because I know they bought him with aspirations that he was going to be the number one. And when they sold the other fucker that was there who also stunk. But Palace, they'll be in the Premier League next year. And I think that's job well done by them for another season.
Yep.
Yeah, you could shout out the 3.9. U.S.
Richards, baby.
Player. Richards,
I forgot about him. Oh, my God. Richards, let's fucking go, dude. He starts every game. He's 3-9. I mean, we'll
scored
get
his first goal.
Scored his first goal. I mean, we'll get to our teams later, I think. But I might be free hitting at 34. I haven't actually looked that closely, so I'm not sure. But for teams who aren't free hitting, you know, like downgrading your shitty, I don't know who, defender, that you probably should never have owned anyway to Richards, all of them, you know, downgrading because we're all going to need money in our attacker soon with Mo and Holland and Son and yada, yada, yada. Downgrading to Richards, letting him just sit on the bench for City and City and Liverpool, start him in the double. Like, great, great pick.
Yeah, I mean, people are going to be moving off of Tottenham defenders to set up for double game week 34. So I think like if you're going Poro to Richards, that frees up like 1.7. Like that's a lot of money that you can then funnel into your attack. So yeah, I don't hate it. And whether you play him in the double or not, like he's just going to be good bench fodder and get you 2 points or maybe even more in the double.
Exactly. Yeah. Stupinian, Trips, like people own these picks. Doughty, you know.
Yeah. I was going to say the Luton guys, we should shoot out of a cannon. And I mean,
you're saving minimum like a mil with Richards with like any of those players. But if people have Trips, you're saving 2 million right there.
Yeah. I mean, I got regs. I got cash. It's just
get
garbage.
Out of here.
Yeah.
Gabagool.
Exactly. I mean, not to mention those players and managers who brought in triple Bournemouth. Bournemouth looked shaky as fuck. What happened in that?
We should talk about Bournemouth.
So
let's not too much.
I mean,
They have a double.
Yeah, but Wolves have a double too, and we're just gonna shout them out. Wolves play twice. Bournemouth play twice. Everton play twice, and Chef, you play twice. Yeah. And I know we're not gonna talk about the chefs of who are gonna get the fuck out of this league as soon as possible.
No.
So let's just mention that they have some decent fixtures. I'd say Wolves play both home matches. They play Arsenal and Bournemouth. Bournemouth play at Villa and at Wolves. I really don't like that. I have Kirkez. God, I'm going to do anything to fuck that guy out of my team ASAP. And Everton, you mentioned before, they play home matches, but they're not easy ones. And Chef, you have to be an absolute psychopath. You might have sociopath serial killer tendencies if you even touch a Sheffield United player. Brian, this is your time to mention that you already have McAtee locked and loaded in your team.
Oh, yeah. Bench fodder McAtee just sitting there. I mean, this is the reason why I'm not bench boosting in game week 34, because I have a triple up on Bournemouth from double game week 28. So I have Neno in goal, who I captained that week. That didn't go as well as I was hoping. And then also have Barney Man. So these are players that I do not want to bench boost with, and they're just kind of stuck in my side, unfortunately. So I think I will be just letting them rot until I can get rid of them and not really try and focus on playing them. I think key players to look out for, I think Reina Nouri, he could definitely get an attacking return, especially in that Bournemouth match. And so that's somebody who I think, again, with cleans being so rare, he's actually attacking quite a bit. So he's probably at 4.5 million, like one of the best picks if you're just looking for a player to either rotate. And, you know, they play Burnley in 31, West Ham at home in 32, NFO and away in 33. So definitely a shout if you just need that third defender to also play before the double. So he's somebody that I think I'll be bringing to my side in the next couple of weeks. The attackers at Wolves, they were and have been interesting throughout the season, but right now there's just no like solidarity for them. They have a lot of injuries. Cunha's yellow flag, he could come back in the mix. Sarabia, 4.7, but will he be on pens? It's just a bit of a messy situation over there. So I think I'll probably just grab one Wolves player and keep it moving.
On, will you be getting any Wolves guys in to placate our missing third co-host, Black Wolf?
I mean, I do love Aiden Ori, another guy I've always loved and rarely owned. I think that's a good shout. I mean, obviously the home Arsenal, like you're just hoping for 2 points. And then they have a decent game with home Bournemouth. So, I mean, that's why you got double game week players, right? It's like, even worst case, like they should do better on average than single game makers. I mean, we'll see. You know, it's still kind of far away. You know, like Wenger could be back, Neto could be back, Cunha could be back. All these guys could be back. And then we're talking about a better team here. But I just wanted to also mention Bournemouth is like, man, like months ago, away Villa is like one of a top four worst fixture in the league. But that is long gone. I mean, they are just not that good anymore. Not a fortress at home, conceding goals for fun. Like everyone kind of owns Dom at this point, but I look at that game and I'm like, yeah, Dom is still just like an incredible pick that week.
If you're not on the triple up already and kind of blocked, like even going Semenyo potentially instead of Muniz, just to maybe play him in that double in 34. If you're going to bench boost, like I probably like him better if you're building a bench boost team for 34, somebody else that really, man, he shined in that double game weekend, yeah. led that comeback versus the Lutonians. So yeah, lots of things to ponder, but I think now we're going to take a quick break and then showcase some of the matches to target as we fast forward to game week 30. We'll be right back.
All right, we're leaving double game week 34 on the DVR menu, and we're switching to what's up next in the FPL calendar. Let's tune in for game week 30, which comes fast and furious this weekend. Like we touched on in the intro, a lot of us are just getting our feet wet back into the FPL swing of things. So we need to make sure that we make the deadline, we make our transfers, we set our bus teams, and these are the games that you should know are coming to set yourself up for a big score. So the best matches to target for FPL hauls. Let's start with our Chelsea Blues, Brian. Burnley travel to face Chelsea. They will not have David Datro Fofana, who is a Chelsea player on loan and has been on fire scoring goals for Burnley since he made the switch from Union Berlin. So what do we think? Palmer, potential differential captain? I know what you're going to say, Alan. That's solidly on the Egyptian king.
No. I think it's a shout. I don't think he's the best captain of the week. I'm currently on Sonny. I don't know if it's going to stick. I need more time. But yeah, I think Palmer's a shout for sure.
Not to mention people who are wildcarding in 30, they're probably going to punt on Gusto, I think, with Reece James just always injured. So preparing for those future double game weeks, and he looks like he's good to go. So he's an easy start this week if you had him, and has been pretty attacking in the games that he's featured in. So I'm expecting a 2-0 victory for Chelsea in this one, but they rarely keep cleans. It's hard to predict.
I'm not as optimistic. 3-1 to our Chelsea Blues. We've been scoring good goals recently, so I think this could be an offensive showcase for the Blues. And yeah, Burnley stink. So Black Wolf was glowing them up a couple game weeks ago. He's since messaged me apologizing to me and all the listeners for making such a clear and obvious mistake. They are just as bad, if not worse, than Chef Hugh. So that's worth mentioning. Target these relegation bound teams. Next up, Fulham at Chef Hugh. Any of you Munis curious?
I should have been on Free Hit and just, you know, got sucked into Tony and Watkins and all the rest, but he's been in great form, outscoring Haaland over the last like six game weeks. I mean, he's in good form, growing in confidence. He's a young player that's going to be a big part of their future, so expect him to get a full run out as well. And he just picked up a knock, I think, at the end of his brace in game week 29, so he should be good to go. So 4.6 million, perfect enabler. I think their matchups coming up to aren't too bad. So let's see. They got Chef U away, NFO away, Newcastle at home, West Ham away. Yeah, somebody who's easy enabler to come into your side if you need those mo funds.
Yeah, and you referenced his hot form. He has 7 goals in his last 7 games. He is number one for shots, number one for shots in the box. So he's lapping guys like Erling Haaland, who are triple his price at the moment in the FPL game.
What a breakout. What a breakout for this guy. I mean, going in the offseason, they're still searching for who's the big dude that they lost? I'm forgetting his name, but
Mitro,
right? And then they think that they're going to get a stopgap showing from Jimenez, and this guy has just come out of nowhere, even though he's been on the roster for the full season. So, you know, good on him as a young player developing. So anytime you can get a sub 5 million pound striker who's in form and really banging it in, I think he's a good pick. And this is the best game week to start him versus Chef U.
And that, not to be a buzzkill, but the one warning I would heed is Fulham are just a very different team away. And they're a bottom three attack away. I mean, they have the same number of away goals as aforementioned Burnley. They have 2 more than Chef U. And if you look at more, you know, advanced numbers, and they're third worst in the league for their non-penalty XG away. So, you know, I like, you know, you can go like Jedi, another like U.S. men's national team shout if you want to go Anthony Robinson, something like that. You know, maybe they'll keep cleans and away Chef U, away NFO, but I don't see them like filling their boots with a lot of goals in those games just based on how they've been playing all season.
I like that call out, but I still think this is 2-0 to the visitors.
Yeah.
You got a prediction? Probably.
Yeah, probably something like that. Yeah, 1-0, 2-0, 1-1. I don't know, some dumb draw. They also have nothing to play for, you know. It's that time
of
season a little bit. They're very, very safe. They're having a great season.
Not quite on the beach, but approaching it. Probably packing the bag soon for the beach. So
we'll
keep an eye on that. All right, next up we have the Lutonians at Tottenham. And Tottenham got embarrassed, absolutely embarrassed by Fulham in game week 29. So, you know, this is one where I think, again, like I'm hoping Muniz keeps his form from the previous thrashing of Tottenham. And then Tottenham got to get a response here. So what are we thinking for this one? I mean, you start all your Tottenham assets with confidence, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, especially the attackers, I think that's, you never know. I mean, footy is such an interesting sport for a lot of reasons, but I was having an international break daydream about, you know, the American sports I grew up with, and footy more than the other sports is like how the other team plays sort of determines what you can and can't do in a lot of ways. You know what I mean? And Luton have made it very, very easy on the opposition for how to play games, because they're just like, we're going to attack with 8 and just make it completely wide open. If they do that at Spurs, I mean, they could concede 7. Like, that doesn't seem far-fetched to me. I mean, they conceded 4 to Bournemouth and a half. But you would think, like, I think Rob Edwards has some... He's done a pretty good job, and I would assume that he's not like, nah, let's make it a, you know, basketball game and try and just outscore Spurs. So I assume they're going to park. And if they park, I mean, I still think Spurs are in a way, and I still think they're going to score goals, and it makes the clean a lot more viable, you know, even though Luton barely get blanked.
So as we get caught up to speed here, what's up with Rich? You know, Richie is fully fit. I think he didn't play for Brazil during the break, at least in the first game versus England. So is he going to be straight back in at the nine and push Sun to the left? I think that's a big piece of information for Sonny captainers. Obviously, Sun can still do damage from wherever, but I would much rather prefer he's in the nine slot. So, you know, how do you think that complicates things?
Yeah, I mean, it is a pain in the ass of the season, right? I mean, literally no one was on Sun whenever that was, game week four or something like that. Yeah, game week four, they're at Burnley. Not a single person I saw had Sun. And that's because he wasn't doing anything. He was just out wide, you know, helping him build up, maybe create a chance, maybe take like one bad shot. Then he comes in, plays striker, immediately gets a hat trick. And every game he's played, every minute, not even every game he's played at striker, he's been just an FPL menace. Because even when Rich gets subbed off on 70 and Son plays 20 minutes, or, you know, more like 30 minutes because of the extra added time this season, Son always seems to get a return or two in the dying breath. So I still think he's good, and he had a good, there was a little bit of overlap where he was wing and Rich was still striker and he was actually getting good returns. I think it was right before, you know, AFCON Asian Cup time, but I really don't know. I don't have my finger on the pulse of Spurs to know, like, have a read on that of like what Ange thinks is the best. Cause you can make a case for BJ. You can make a case for Timo. You can make a case for a Kulu wing or Kulu eight. I mean, there's a lot of options all of a sudden.
Yeah. I think Richarlison is almost a gift for managers like us who wildcarded early, because to get both Salah and Son into my team for this game week would really require some surgery, but I can pretty easily stretch to Richarlison. So I think that's such a gift, and I expect he's going to slot right back in as the number nine. And I think this is going to be a game with no clean sheets. It might not be as open as like a track meet, but I still think this has like 4-1 to Spurs written all over it. But the problem with Spurs when they devote bodies forward in such an aggressive Ange ball style is they leave themselves wide open at the back. And we saw that all day in that Fulham match, that they were just getting quality chance after quality chance. So that's what I think. I think Luton get three quality chances. They score one of them. And I think Spurs get like eight or nine and they score half of them. So that's my read on the game.
I thought you were meaning eight or nine goals. That would be excellent.
I mean, Luton have...
It could be. They're the team that it could be against, because Luton play ambitious. Absolutely.
Luton have only not scored. Them. Oh, sorry. I'm on your toes. Luton have only not scored four times this season, though, is what I was going to bring up.
Insane.
Honestly, all four of them were early in the season. It was game week 3, 5, 8, and 12. Right. So like that was around the time, I don't remember the exact moment, when they just said, Rob Edwards was like, okay, this obviously isn't working. You know, we're getting no points. We're awful. We're trying to park a bus, but we still can't keep it clean. So he changed it, you know, and since then they just score every game. I mean, literally every game since game week 12. So, you know, I never really back Spurs for a clean. My only hope, if you were a Spurs defender, owner, Poro, dogs, whatever, the hope would be Luton come in with a double-decker bus and just try and just nil-nil this game, which they probably won't be able to do, but that's the best case for a Spurs clean.
I respect the job that Rob Edwards and Luton are doing. We slagged them really hard in the beginning of the season. I mean, I was calling them the worst team to ever get promoted, and deservedly so. They were that bad, but they play a chaos ball type of strategy, and it's working for them. They're physical. They know where their bread is buttered, which is on set pieces, which could be a little bit out of whack with Doughty flagged and potentially injured. That being said, I think they can manufacture at least one goal against this Spurs defense. So the hope is that, you know, you're betting on the defender to get an attacking return. I mean, Udogie, Romero, Poro, whoever it is, it's not unthinkable that they're going to get a return in this game beyond the clean sheet. So that's my prediction there. Let's go to your team, Brighton, traveling to Anfield to face the magic of Klopp's final season. How many points does Mo Salah score in this match? He's notably not scored against Brighton.
Oh, is that true?
That was an awesome shout out that I saw. It's probably not true, but I read it on the internet, so I had to shout it out.
Yeah, I mean, I believe it. It's surprising, but I guess I believe it. But Yeah, I mean, it's been tough every game since De Zerbi's reign. Every game against, you know, Klopp's Liverpool has been a tough game. There have been a lot of goals, though. I mean, there was a 2-2, there was a 3-3.
Oh, yeah.
And there was a 3-0 Brighton win. So, you know, I definitely expect goals. These are both teams who, you know, like to like puff their chest out and be like, nah, we want the ball. We're going to play. And then both teams who like to press and both teams who like to counter and are good at all of those things. And Brighton have been a little bit of Jekyll and Hyde this year, but, you know, they're knocked out of Europe now. Maybe he'll go back to, you know, kind of fun Brighton, score a lot Brighton mode. I expect goals. I mean, Liverpool at home have just been absolutely ridiculous this year.
Yeah, and I think the press is really going to cause Brighton some trouble. Dunk really fucked up in the England game today, and yeah, he's going to be getting slagged on the internet for that. So maybe he'll come into a mistake or two. And I think just the press is really going to lead to a few counters for Darwin and Salah. So I'm expecting a 3-1 win for Liverpool in this one.
Yeah, I don't expect a clean. I do expect a win. I do expect goals. I mean, the thing, I don't want to get too like tactics-y because I'm out of my depth a little bit, but you know, Brighton, they want you to press. That's kind of why it ends up being crazy matches versus Liverpool, because they want you to press and Liverpool want to press. And so it just becomes this crazy game of like, can they build out of the back or is there going to be a high turnover? Or if they get through the press, like it's, you know, it's going to be a 3v2 and like, can VVD make a big play? Can Allison or Kelleher make a big save? Something like that. You know, Konate should be back, you know, so I expect it to be really fun and I'm just, you know, hoping for a Liverpool win.
I think 3-2. I agree with everything you guys said. I think they're lucky this game goes before the Arsenal-Man City match because I think there would be a lot of score watching from the Liverpool locker room. And I think they're going to come in. They know if they take care of business, the pressure will be on the other two teams. I think that's a huge blessing for Liverpool supporters and the team in general, because it's all in their court. So they know what they have to do.
Right.
All right. Let's quickly transition and highlight a few of the best peer watches. And that just really hinges on Arsenal at City. So quick predictions on this one, and then we'll take another quick break.
I just wanted to jump in really quick. Mo literally braced against Brighton this season.
And the 2-2. Fuck the internet. The internet is my bugaboo.
Bucks isn't very good at reading either. So that's
scored two goals in 5 minutes this season.
Yeah. Thanks, social media and the internet.
Yeah, all good. I was like really surprised. I was like, damn, that's crazy.
Yeah. Let's stick with it. Mo does not score against Brighton, so definitely don't transfer him in and
bad
give him the captain's armband this game week 30.
Bad pick.
All right, so predictions for Arsenal at City. Team should be well rested. We got a little bit of a Pep versus the Apprentice type of aura coming up in this one. What do we think?
Bucksy, you go.
I think 2-1 to City. It being home at the Etihad, I think it's going to be rocking. And as much as KDB is flagged and he didn't travel to play with the Belgium national team, I think he'll be fine. He'll get the run out. And I think City, yes, they have some injuries in defense right now with Kyle Walker. You mentioned John Stones and Akanji, both likely to be flagged coming into this game week. And Ederson, we know, is out. I don't think it matters. I think they have too much firepower. And Pep is a footy genius. So I think that the grasshopper doesn't quite catch the sensei just yet.
We'll see. I think it's going to definitely be an interesting watch. I think a few of their more recent matches have been pretty cagey, you know, maybe a 1-1, but I think a winner will emerge this week and it'll really shake up the standings one way or the other.
Yeah, I lean towards a draw, I think, honestly. I mean, aforementioned cagey, I mean, Arsenal won the reverse, but nothing happened in that game. And then there was a deflected goal in like the 87th minute. No team attacked and, you know, whatever. I kind of expect similar. I kind of expect both teams playing not to lose, both teams just playing really conservative, really cagey. You know, it's dumb to say, but you know, it could just be one moment. I think it's that kind of game where it's like, oh, there's a pen, or like, oh, someone scores on a corner or something like that. But overall, I just think, yeah, it's either like a nil-nil wouldn't shock me, 1-1 wouldn't shock me, but City always score at home, you know? So I think Arsenal would love a 1-1 because I think at some point City will make it 1-0.
All right, that wraps up our preview for Game Week 30. We're going to take a quick break and come back with a few community questions. We'll be right back.
We're heading towards the finish line here. Let's dive into the mailbag for some great listener questions from social media and from private DMs. Let's start with my Cayman fan, Matt. He's asking about how nailed Petrovic is as Chelsea's number one keeper, and if there's anyone else beyond him that we could rely on for their defense. Now, credit to you guys. We already shouted out Gusto. I think he almost picks himself, with Chelsea having the most fixtures left to play of any team in the Premier League. And he's 4.2 million. He's a steal and he's very attacking. And I expect that he's not going to be playing with Sterling in front of him ever again. So it's going to be Cole Palmer all the time. Fuck Raz. I hate that guy. So, and I think for me, Petrovic is one of the signings of the season. He's been, the fact that he went from the MLS to being the number one keeper at a historical big six club in the Premier League is a huge jump up in level, in competition, and he looks great. I don't think Sanchez is getting that job back. And even though he's not assured with the ball at his feet, he's been really good. So Georgie, I can't pronounce his first name. He's the number one. Have no fear, Matt.
Yeah, if you're going to wild card and you're looking to have two playing goalkeepers, I think preparing for those future doubles makes sense, and he's cheap. So, you know, throw him in and keep it moving.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Next up, Connor, aka FPL Hunt, wants to know your take, our beautiful guest, LA or New York food scene?
Oh, man. I mean, I'm so biased. What can I say here? I mean, I'm a New York guy. Walsh, my co-host, lives in LA now. He's a New York guy. I mean, for me, it's got to be New York. But I'm very willing next time I go to LA, I'm going to be, you know, sampling lots of different stuff and hitting up a lot of spots. So we'll see.
I don't want to make the F train by you even more crowded, but I should say you're in like one of the golden triangles of great food. You have Lucali not too far from you. You have the amazing sandwich shop I'm blanking on right now. Court Street Grocers. That place is bomb.com. You got Frankie's Buttermilk Channel. Brian, next time you're in town, we'll sleep over at Alon's place so we can get all the great food in.
Yeah, I've had some friends visit recently. So we went out to we hit all the spots and it just fucking is
food coma.
Good food coma food here, man. Good food here.
Look, the main thing that LA has is the Mexican food. So that is where
I can't fight that.
You can get cheap street tacos or you can go high end Mexican. So I think that's like the really main thing that the LA scene has. But a lot of those expensive meals are going to be good in both places, to be honest.
Yeah,
I think it's like the amount of restaurants per, you know, square block in New York. Just it's such easier to access those versus driving around in fucking traffic in LA and trying to go from one best place in one neighborhood 2 hours to another best place. So I've never lived in New York, but I've been there for work quite a bit. So I lean New York as well.
Let's go.
You're going to be excommunicated from your Santa Barbara and LA neighbors commentary like that. Connor's really asking from an FPL perspective. He's asking about Cunha versus Darwin. And also who would be your pick if you wanted to get a kind of cool defender in? Would you splurge for Verge, or would you maybe go more differential like Tsimikas or Bradley on either wing?
Well, I think Connor's actually asking if a double up in defense for Liverpool, it would be better than going with Darwin. And so he's thinking about maybe Cunha instead. I mean, I don't want to play two defenders in a double game week from Liverpool.
I think it's viable, actually. I'm going to take the other opinion there I mean, it's really about the pool of players, right? It's like there are very few good defenders in the game, and there's a lot of really good forwards, right? I mean, everyone's going to have Haaland. Everyone already has Ollie. Everyone has Dom. There's other, we've mentioned Muniz. We haven't even mentioned, like, you know, Isak or other doublers. Who knows? Maybe we'll have Nico Jackson again.
Nick Jackson, baby.
Yeah, I love Nick Jackson. I think he's great.
I'm sorry, Nick Jackson. Oh, he is for real.
Versus, like I said, there's no good defenders. And if Rabo's actually out long term, it's funny you mentioned Simi, because I was talking about Trent's, like, the highest average point scorer, but Simi is actually ahead of him. He just doesn't play that much, so I kind of, like, didn't count non-starters. But yeah, Simi is just absolute gold. If he's starting, if Rabo's out, he's going to start every game at left back. And if he's starting every game at left back, he's an incredible pick.
Yeah, so to add to that, at FPL Wrangler was asking if Simi is the go-to if Rabo's out, but it's a little more complicated than that because Gomez actually slotted in at left back in the City match. So I'm not sure if that was based on Simi's health or anything like that. I was just curious your thoughts there, because Gomez finds himself in the squad more than I would like.
Yeah, I just think it like, he, first of all, he was coming off a mega injury. He hasn't started a game in a while. He started an FA Cup game, and other than that, he hadn't started a game for a long time. And then the other thing I think is just tactical. I mean, I think you can almost, like, throw out team sheets against City, right? We've always seen, like, weird shit. Like, it'll just be like, oh, Dom's not in the squad versus City, and then he's back and plays 90 every game. It's managers just do different stuff against them.
I think the Gomez play in the City match was a physicality play, because I agree with you. I think coming back from injury to go up and have to maybe put a body on Haaland every other play is not a recipe for long-term fitness. And Gomez, physically, he's built bigger than Tsimikas is, but from an upside chasing perspective, Tsimikas will have at least one side of corner kicks, and sometimes he'll take free kicks as well. So I really like that play. And I think if I were wildcarding in game week 30, he would almost pick himself with that Rabo injury.
Yeah.
Speaking of, at Bangla underscore FPL is asking his question about wildcard 30 versus 31. Right now, his game week 30 team is fine, but he would not be able to afford his dream team in game week 31 if he wildcards then. So what should he do? I mean, my initial reaction is I would prefer to wildcard in game week 31 so that you could possibly dead end and take out some of your Arsenal and City players this week and then bring them back in next week. I mean, it depends on how many transfer he has stored up, but look, for team value and things like that, you can always find an alternative. There's always a Heath, Chris, Richards kicking around. There's always, you know, a way to get another 0.1 or 0.2. So I wouldn't panic too much. And when you talk about your dream team, there's so many cheap enablers this year. You should be able to cut some corners and make something work.
Yeah, I was going to just say basically the same thing. Like, just grow up. I mean, your dream team isn't the best team. So, you know, like, just know that and get over it.
Well, I think this is an interesting jumping off point, because I have no chips, so I'm just going to shut the fuck up. But you guys still have some bonus power-ups to play. Can you maybe tell the listeners a little insight into your plan or what your kind of ideal strategy is for how you're going to deploy the power-ups?
My plans aren't, like, fully thought through yet. You know, I'm a little bit raw from international break, but I still have free hit, bench boost, and triple cap. So triple cap will probably come in a week where only there's only a few doubles or something like that. Like, Chelsea and Spurs look to have a double somewhere between 35 and 36 ish. So maybe I'll triple cap a Palmer or Son or something like that. Don't know yet. Fixture's not decided yet. For 34, I have Son and Matto already in my team, and they're not really guys I want to get rid of at all. So that looks probably best for free hit for me, even though I'm going to bring in Mo, who's another doubler, and even though I already have three Arsenal and they're doubling, it's probably easiest to just free hit and get, you know, get the aforementioned Palace one or two guys, Wolves guy, you know, whatever. Make sure it's the most fit, best guys playing at that current time, whatever that means. And then I'll be angling towards, I guess, a 37 bench boost. I'm not going to stress about having all doublers on my bench. I don't think that's realistic without hits, but I'm definitely going to just try and at least get guys with good fixtures, try and at least get a second keeper who's doubling. I think is really important to get a good bench boost. And something like that.
Yeah, I definitely rate that. Having the double keeper play is huge for the bench boost, because I feel like the floor is kind of 6 points. You're going to get some save points even if they concede, and that's a big part. Like, if you can get 20 plus points on your bench boost, you're in a good spot. So
right,
don't stress out about it too much. For me, I'm looking at the play of really setting up my team to have like 10 doublers in 34 and then wildcarding out in 35 and filling my team with Chelsea and those Spurs lads. And then, yeah, because like right now I got these three players from Bournemouth and I don't want to bench boost with them in 34. It's just, they've been a, you know, and having two defenders as well. So I'm not really feeling that too much. So, and then, yeah, I generally, like, I love to like wildcard and then bench boost directly after. So I will have to probably fill my bench with some like center backs, some guys that aren't injury prone, so I don't have to make future transfers on that. Otherwise, you know, minus four to get some double game week players for 37 makes sense. It's just a bit risky. Again, like, if who knows where the league will be, but rotation will be rampant if the league is wrapped up. And that's the only tricky thing to kind of navigate for 37 bench boost if you're wildcarding now, for example, in 30 or 31. So all food for thought, team dependent bullshit. But yeah, you gotta go on to planners like FPL team and the like to plan that out as you move forward.
I love the idea of people getting rid of Spurs players because they don't double. Like, that is just delicious to me. They have home Luton, at West Ham, home NFO, at Newcastle. Give me my Son Matto, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, people are looking at taking Son out to get Salah, like, this week.
Yeah.
I'm like, you can't do that. He's got the Lutonians. They're going to give it up. They're going to give it up real cheap.
What about free hit 38? Did that cross your mind at all on?
Not until now, but it's like a lore thing almost. I mean, like, I don't know how long you guys have been playing NFL, but that's a thing that like everyone's been talking about for a decade and no one ever does. Where you're just like, dude, I can get
actually,
fucking...
I can actually attest I did free hit in 38 two seasons ago.
How'd it
I
go?
Finished. Oh, terrible. It did not go well. A lot of my players did not come through with the goods. And I finished that season like 33K, and I was really kind of like, hey, if I nail this free hit in 38, I can maybe get in top 15, top 10K even. And I scored like the average. So it was a bit of a disappointment, to be honest.
Yeah,
but
I mean, the dream
it's
is
fun.
You like,
it's definitely fun as fuck.
Yeah, the dream is you hit that like Man United West Brom 5-5 and you get like a Stoke hat trick or something like that that happens every year. But in actuality, I mean, that's very difficult to do without leaks of who's actually playing in the meaningless games.
Yeah, for sure.
Amen to that. Let's go to our final segment so we can get everyone back to their families, to their lives outside of this podcast, which, you know, I don't have one. So that's not a big deal for me. I'm not in a rush, but I know many of you are. So let's go to our transfer plans and captaincy shouts. Now, just for full disclosure, we are not nailing you down to this. If you make a different pick when it comes to your actual team reveal come the weekend, there will be no pitchforks out for you or for any of the hosts. But let's start with you, Alon. What is the plan going into game week 30? And what's maybe give us a teaser of what your team might look like?
Yeah, I think the plan that I had sort of before the international break, which I don't think will change with the doubles, is just Sar, my fifth mid, who no one owns, to Mo. I have the money in the bank to do that. It's the player I want. It's, you know, my worst attacker is sort of my third forward, which is Morris, or my fifth mid, which is Sar, who I basically never want to start. And yeah, it just solves all the problems. So I'm basically moving to a 3-5-2 this week, not getting Haaland yet. I'll get him in 31, benching one or two Arsenal guys. And my only tough call will be Cap and will be which keeper to start, because I have Neto and Kelleher. But that's, I don't know, something to think about for the next few days, not to think about right now.
So you're not going to take a hit. You're just going to straight swap Sar to Salah. That is
straight
a
swap.
Luxury. Yeah, what a luxury position to be in. You're
beautiful.
Like sitting in you're in your Rolls Royce just clicking on your fancy iPhone.
Exactly.
Made out of 24 karat gold, that move with all the money you have in the bank.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. I'll figure out captain. Right now, I mentioned before I have it on Sonny, but that could change.
I like to say to Liverpool fans, you know, you're going against the Egyptian king. He's one of your own. So that's like, you know, you're fighting head and heart right there. So I always feel like, you know, you'll add a little juice to your rooting interest when you guys smash Brighton on the weekend. So I think come when it's all said and done, you'll have the C above your guy, Mo Salah.
You add like joy, but at least for me, and you know, like I said, a life of pain of New York teams, I add so much anxiety.
Suffering, yeah, fair.
Like
fair.
I dread Mo getting a pen when I have him captain, because it's just like, oh my, I'm like Klopp, I just can't even watch. I'm just a complete wreck. And like if it's nil nil on 70 and I'm freaking out about our title chances and I have my cap, like nightmare. I don't want that. I want to avoid that situation. So
Fair enough. All right. I have a little bit of a dilemma, so curious to see what you guys think. So I have 2.1 in the bank, and two players I do not have on my side this week are Palmer and Salah. And so I'm in a weird spot where my initial plans were to hit out Watkins and hit out initially Odegaard. But now that the double's been announced, I'm looking at maybe hitting out Foden and Watkins and going to Salah and Muniz. And starting Muniz this week versus Chef U. So that'd be a -4. Or I could just bring in Palmer for McAtee and then bench Odegaard. So those are like the two moves that I'm looking at. I mean, ultimately, I know I'm going to want Salah for double game week 34. So the sooner I can get him, I feel like there's just a higher chance and probability of me spiking that double digit haul and maybe multiple double digit hauls. So that's usually how I look at it, especially if you're going to repay that hit. But it kind of puts me off of Palmer for a couple of weeks. So it's really looking at like, what are the ceilings of these two players? And I think the price tag on Palmer has thrown managers off of captaining him at times, but he's if Chelsea are scoring, he's involved. And I think he's also been one of those guys who's added some late intrigue in the last 15 minutes of matches and come away with a lot of FPL points. So that's me laying it out. What do you guys rate, option one or option two? And if I bring in Salah, I will captain him for sure. And I think that's also like I'm chasing and having a terrible season. Salah. So
option one, I think pretty firmly. I don't think Chelsea are scoring like 6 or 7 goals, but I think Liverpool, especially with the matchups they have in the next two, you could see an absolute offensive explosion, and they could easily put up 4 or 5 in both these matches.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, nightmare scenario is Salah plays and then he doesn't feature in 31.
Unless he's hurt, that just never happens. It really very rarely happens, especially like down the stretch right now. Like you couldn't bring him off. You know, if he's fit, he's playing. But the thing I was going to say is like, I think Odegaard's kind of holding you hostage. I mean, I have your team in front of me. I mean, just get rid of Foden and Odegaard for Mo and Palmer.
Take the -8.
Can you just do those two mids for the good two mids and just like,
yeah, that's interesting.
Much, much better. I don't know if you can afford that, but you're close, I think.
Yeah. I mean, the problem is I think it would still give me a benching headache this week. But it's not a bad shout actually. I haven't thought about that. I think again, like I am chasing. So having Odegaard for 34, like, kind of seems fun, but it is 4 game weeks away, right? So I'm like trying to play.
It's also not fun when you just have a bad pick and he doesn't get you points. Like, you know what I mean? It's just like, I don't know.
Yeah, I should say that, Brian, based on the way your season is going, you're going to sell Odegaard and he's going to get the man of the match in this.
I mean, that's
goal and assist. And
when it rains, it fucking pours. Yeah, it pours.
Listen, it could happen to anyone.
Yeah. Yeah, but no, that's something good to ponder, actually. I had not thought about that, and I've taken so many hits straight to the veins. So what's another one? And I can always figure that out later as well. So yeah, decent shout there. Yeah. Thank you for that. All right, Bucks, let's end with you.
All right, I'm last up, and I'm in a similar position to when I initially pulled the wildcard chip. I have 5 flagged players in my team. Ooh. So I have KDB, Saka. I'm not too concerned about them. I have Gabriel, Maguire, and Doughty. The dough man, the dough boy. So I might be rocking with 2 fit defenders this game week. Whatever. Who cares? No one's getting
shit
points
happens.
There. And I have Ronaldo 8 Nori already in place. And you know he's going to get a goal. I love that guy. So my plan, I don't have Sun or Salah. And like I mentioned, I have 2.3 in the bank, but it's not enough to really get frisky. So I'm thinking KDB to Salah is nailed. I'm definitely moving that way. And then the question is, do I splurge and move Foden potentially to a player like Sun? Because I'm going to sell Watkins to Muniz. So it's really the question is, do I go sell Foden or do I keep Foden, maybe swerve and get Richarlison in instead of Sun? And again, it's playing kind of against my favorite players. I love Sun almost as much as Brian does. The problem is, I think the nine is really the one you want to have. You want to have the guy in goal scoring position. So I'm tempted to take a -8 and go Watkins to Muniz, KDB to Salah, and Foden to Sun. And then I would captain Salah, but I would have what I think are kind of the four top rated players going into this game week, which is Haaland, Salah, Sun, and Palmer. What say you all? I see there's a lot
minus
of
eight.
Glazed
minus
over
eight
eyes.
Is,
there's
I don't
confused
know if it's
eyes.
Necessary
there's
for the
panic.
Minus eight.
I kind of like it, man. I mean, I honestly do. I think, you know, it allows you to like bench Saka this week, probably for Doug Luiz, looking at your team, and sets you up for a good run in. You know, Spurs have really good fixtures. Liverpool have really good fixtures. You're avoiding Arsenal City game. You know, we haven't even mentioned, you know, the Champions League games and what that might mean for a rotation. You know, like you look at City's fixtures, it's like, oh my God, I want Foden for at Palace home Luton. I mean, who knows which one he starts, if either, you know?
Yeah, he
he's
might not
be,
start either.
He's 100% starting against Madrid. So, you know, that it depends that how intense those games are. Yeah, fuck it, dude. I don't know. I like it.
That's what I'm leaning towards. I'm saying, you know, I
let
blew
it rip.
All my chips and I want to stay competitive. So I feel like getting a little wacky might be the key to me staying in the top 25K by the end of the season. I'm going to be kind of swimming against the tide with a lot of managers having multiple chips left. That being said, I'm definitely bringing Salah in. He's going to be my captain. I wish I could give it to Cole Palmer. He's my guy. He's been my favorite player to watch all season by a long shot on my Chelsea Blues. He'll be my vice. I think that's good enough for you, Cole, ain't it?
Makes sense. All right. Well, boys, that is a pod. So we want to thank Alan so much for joining us. I know he's a busy man appearing all over the different content creator spaces, and we appreciate you dropping by here and hope to have you on again soon. So give a quick plug what you're up to and where the listeners can find you.
Yeah, appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me. Good chatting. Good getting back up to speed on FPL and all that stuff. You can find me FML FPL everywhere, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. We have our Patreon with Discord. Brian's in there. Maybe we'll get Bucksy in there, who knows? And then, you know,
if Salah Halls book it, I will be signing up immediately after that game. How's that?
Cup of coffee.
Yeah, fuck it. Cup of coffee a month, no big deal. But yeah, you know, we do our thing and a bunch of free stuff too. It's not all behind the paywall or whatever. So yeah, check us out if you enjoyed this one. It's more of that.
Yeah, FML FPL is the pod for the people. They bring it every week, bring the banter. And well worth the time. So make sure to check them out. And we'll see all of you guys on the other side of game week 30. And wishing everybody a really just week filled with green arrows. Because after the diabolical game week 29, I was just like, I need to rage quit this whole season after that. So let's hope we get some points scored all around and no red cards, fucking regs. Oh my goodness. I'm still suffering from PTSD from 29. So hopefully we'll bang in the points and we'll see you guys soon.
Thanks everyone. Great episode to both of you and best wishes to our buddy Black Wolf. All love.
Yeah. Rest up, Black Wolf. We'll get you on soon, buddy.